good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you here on this day before Inauguration Day 2017, January 19th, 2017, 24 hours from now, if you can believe this, we will have inaugurated our 25th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and who thought we would be saying that? Well, I tell you what, just forget all that now. Just put that aside for right now. Oh, again, we do want to thank You Downs, legendary anchor from 2020, and the Today Show, You Downs, for joining us in Hour 1. And again, You Downs will be turning 96 February the 14th, Valentine's Day. We thank You Downs for coming on in Hour Number 1 and discussing the inauguration tomorrow. Now, this hour, like I said, put it all aside, and I kind of feel bad, because we have not been able to promote this person, because I just found out about 10 minutes ago, through no fault of his or ours, that he was coming on the show. So you out there in listener land who decided to tune in right now, boy oh boy, just batten down the hatches, because you are lucky people. Now, I want to give a little preface to this, because this is a person I love having on this show. I think he's been on 4 or 5 times. I consider him a regular. Now, I'll tell you how a regular he is. He was on this show on January 20th last year, March the 9th, and June the 22nd. But here we are, January the 19th, and we have not heard from him in 7 months. But he reappears today. He is the best talk show guest in the history of talk shows, and I know that for sure now, because they are rerunning the old Tonight shows with Johnny Carson on the Antenna TV network every night at 11 o'clock. No, it's 10 o'clock, I believe. I DVR them. I don't know the exact time. 10 or 11 o'clock on Antenna TV in this area, and I see this person quite a bit on the old Johnny Carson shows. And here is a clip, one of my favorite clips, of the guest today, one of the greatest actors of all time, on Johnny Carson, dating back to 1990. The guest is Charles Grodin, but here's the clip first.
A lot of people, when you're on the show, they write me and they call and they say, why does Charles Grodin treat you so shabbily? Doesn't he like you? What is it? I mean, you have any, you want to address that or speak to that question?
I don't know what to do when I'm out here, because most of the reasons people come on a talk show, I can't really do that. I can't come out and why do people come on a talk show, in your opinion? You're Mr. Talk Show.
To plug this book, to plug this movie.
Okay, and if I would do that, and if I would do
what
that.
What else are you here for?
That's what I'm asking. If I would do that, your attitude would be disdain. You know, when I tried to talk about my book in the hardcover, mm-hmm. you said, 1895, you know, that's a lot of money for a book.
And I said it was.
It's my whole life.
I thought it was.
And you said, you know, maybe if it's Mother Teresa's life. You know.
You remember those things, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I didn't know you were that sensitive. You actually remember that.
I'm so sensitive, I really can't answer a question from someone who's not interested in the question.
I'm very interested in the question. Now, what? It's all right. It's okay. I'm used to it. Now, what does the paperback go for?
This is $9.95.
Well, now we're talking. You see? You should have started out with $9.95. Then this would have been $4.60 by now. But I suppose the thing is to get it when you can.
Are you whispering again?
I'm not. You said
you're
I'm whispering
very,
last time.
Yeah, you talk very softly for me. I don't know why.
Are you hearing
this
me right
is what
in?
You sound like.
You okay.
Are you talking? You made a book, $9.95.
Have you seen those little whisper things that people get who are just on the edge of going completely deaf, where you hear something? I'm going to get you.
You think
one
it's
of those.
Me?
I think you're losing it.
Well, maybe it is me. And now you want to know why I mistreat you.
That's right. Now people don't understand when you come out here. And
well, but look at you. I mean, you don't really care what I have to say, do you? Honestly?
No. Look, I got to do. I got to do an hour a night.
Yeah.
I'm looking for warm bodies.
Right.
That's all.
And
if I can get 7 minutes out of you, I take a bundle, I go home to Malibu.
It was a long clip, but it is worth it. Here he is. Brace yourself, folks. Charles Grodin. Charles?
Well, thank you. You know, I don't know what I can do to top that. I mean, that's... You know, Johnny Carson is, maybe one of the most flattering things that ever happened to me is at some point, I forget when, he asked me if I wanted to go on a safari with him to Africa. And I laughed it off. I mean, he was serious because he did stuff like that. And I didn't even think about it. You know, I don't even like to go to Manhattan, let alone to Africa. But later, his attorney wrote a book about him. You're probably familiar with it. And he didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't know anything about his personal life. I wouldn't have been so aggressive with him, like, who are you, what are you doing, you know, because he just had a very troubling personal life, and I probably would have gone, well, I don't know if I'd have gone to Africa with him, but I would have been more receptive to whatever he said.
Yeah, the book, by the way, I own that book, Charles. Harry Bushkin wrote that. It's an interesting book. I you know what, when I read that, I kind of hoped it wasn't all true.
Yeah, that's Johnny's attorney.
Yeah, but they parted bad. So, you know, sometimes when you part bad and you wait for the person to pass away, maybe some of the stuff isn't exactly all true.
Well, I don't know. It's all pretty sad now.
It is, Charles. This is a good way to start an interview, Charles. We're in
well,
a kind
that's
of...
what I'm here for. You know, maybe people get a tear in your eye at some point.
Yeah, but we have like 50 minutes now. We started on a high note with that great Carson clip, and okay. Now we're all depressed.
Well, let me see. You have some upbeat music you could put on?
I might try some salsa music if this doesn't get better. But
okay.
we're going to keep working here, Charles, because I like I said, I never prepare when you're going to come on. Can I tell you a little story, though, by the way?
Sure.
The first time I had you on, it took forever to get you. I don't know why. You must have been busy or something.
Maybe.
And the first time you came on was the last night David Letterman was on the air. You came on May 15th. 2015. And since then, you've been a regular, as I've said. I like to think of you as a regular. But, well, say it like you mean it, Charles.
No, I'm just acknowledging that you said it.
Oh, thank you. But you could have said it a little more upbeat, I think.
Right.
But, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, the first time you came on, you know, I didn't know if that was an act, what you did. You know, I assume that what you did with Letterman and Carson was an act, but I didn't know if it was an act, fully. And you come on, because I had like, oh, what was it like to work in Beethoven, and what was it like to work with Godzilla? No, King Kong. You were in King Kong.
Right.
Yeah, terrible mistake. King Kong, and what was it like to be in some of those great movies you were in, fantastic, fantastic films. And... are you still there, Charles?
I'm here.
Sounded like you dropped the phone.
No.
Okay. So I thought we're going to do it. What was your childhood
I'm
like?
I'm just leaning back trying to get a nap.
So here we go. So I thought, you know, I'll ask him about his childhood and all this. And you are that person. Now, you claim you're not. You claim that you only did that because it's an audience there, and you know, you didn't want to come out there and be boring and try to sell your book or whatever you
right.
were doing. But that's not true, Charles, because on radio, with me, if we go back and listen to the tape, you're pretty much that guy. You've just done 2 minutes of it already. You're napping.
Well, you know, it's an entertainment format.
This show's entertainment.
But it doesn't mean that that's what I'm like if we're not on the radio or something. I mean, we're sitting around. I'm not, there's an audience. You assume that they want to hear something a little different or unusual or something that wakes them up a little bit.
But here's what but you told me that you only did it on those shows, that on radio there's no audience, studio
no,
audience.
I don't remember that, but if you say so.
Okay, well. Anyway, you can see how this goes. But I like it, though, because you are a fun guest to have on.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Yes, it's wonderful. That
are you still on?
I think so at this point.
No.
We haven't died yet.
Good for you.
Now so here's... I say all that to say this. I want to get my grievance out. I thought you were a regular. June 22nd, you came on. I thought we had another fantastic show, and then you disappeared for 7 months. What happened?
I don't know. Did you call me?
No, because here's the thing. I don't want to bother you, and I think a phone can be abrasive. But I believe I had your assistant's email, And I had another email somebody gave me, which is how we'd always set up
the interview. Well, my phone only rings in my office, and I'm almost never there, so you can always leave a message.
Oh, but so I have permission to do
that. Yeah, I don't have the phones in the other. My phone doesn't ring in the other rooms.
Oh, okay. Well, now we have that on tape, so if the attorneys ever come after me, we'll know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But I've been sending these emails because we've been living in interesting times in the last 6 months, and we need some cheering up every so often.
Right.
And nothing. Never a response.
I don't remember getting any because I respond to everything.
So this is the problem. So about 2 days ago, I said, you know, I'm getting ticked off 7 months, and I've never got a response.
Mm.
So I called you because I did have your number. And you did respond.
Yeah, I respond to everybody.
But not through email. The emails are dead,
apparently. I probably didn't get it. Maybe at some point you can leave me a message and tell me what the email address is. I don't want to do it on the air.
Well, of course not. No. No.
But, maybe it's not the right one.
I have like three.
Yeah, I think they've changed.
Well, maybe it's just when
does
I want
one have
you...
a woman's name in it.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, well, that's no longer accurate.
And then there was another one that had your name in it, but there's other things.
Well, why don't you just leave me a message what it says, and I'll call you back and see if that's the right one.
And people at home can ponder that. Because they don't know where you are anyway. But so that's why you haven't been here. You would have come if I would have called you.
Yes, I would have.
Well, God bless you, Charles. That's very nice.
Thank you.
Yes, 7 months later. But so what's been up with you? 7 months.
Well, I'm doing a lot of things. I've got a movie coming out. Let me see. When does it come out? I think February or March. They're making a movie. I wrote a play. Years ago, I was on a Fifth Avenue co-op board. I lived on Fifth Avenue, and you can't just buy an apartment. You have to be approved by the board. And I couldn't get over what they were doing. You would think they were vetting people to head the CIA. And I wrote a play about it, which upset them a lot. And it was called The Right Kind of People. And it's all just accurate of what was going on. And to me, I don't do anything privately that I'd be afraid it would get out. I don't have these big dark secrets. So if they want to act that way, you know, you don't have to worry about something if you're not trying to hide something. But it was terrible. They resented it very much. But anyway, I've written a movie about it, and that'll be out February of next year, I think it is. And that's called. Wait. What year is this? This is
17
of
2000
of
January.
January. I don't know when it's. It's not February or March, something like that.
Has it been filmed?
Kind of people.
Has it been filmed?
It's a movie. Yeah, they're gonna. I don't think they filmed it yet. It's going to be directed by Arthur Penn's son, Matt Penn, and Julian Schlossberg, who's a very busy producer. He's producing it. So that's going to be done, and that it's a play I wrote, and it sold out in San Francisco, Connecticut, and New York. Never played to an empty seat. And as I said, it made the people that I was writing about very angry. But you know, they shouldn't be doing stuff that they're afraid is going to be revealed. Then you don't have to worry about anything. I don't have any secrets. Nobody's going to secretly say, "Oh, you know what he did," you know, as I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I don't have things that I'm privately ashamed of that I do. I just don't. I don't do it. So,
Now, shouldn't you know if this has been filmed or not?
Well, it hasn't been filmed yet because I'm sending them the script. I don't know. My son's working with me on it. I'll send it to him in the next few days, and then they're going to film it. As I said, it'll be out the beginning of next year. It'll be out maybe February, March, something like that.
Now, is this one of those things like direct to videotape? Because you haven't filmed it, and it's going to be out within a year of filming it.
No, I don't know. It's an independent. It's not a studio, so I don't know when it'll be out. But I'll let you know. And
oh, I like it. Right kind of people.
Yeah, it's all nonfiction.
Are you in this? You're a great actor.
I don't want to. I would. The position is that I would be in it if they needed me to be. I'd prefer not to be.
Who's went down?
Say it again. They cast it?
Yeah. Have they cast?
No. They'll be doing that soon. I mean, they could get people who were in the play in New York. A lot of good people there, and John Lithgow. He was very good in it.
Now, don't you think you might be a little behind schedule here? Just a precaution.
What?
It hasn't been cast, the script hasn't been set over, and it hasn't been filmed, and this is ready to go.
Well,
beginning of next year.
Well, it's the people who are making it. They've read the play. I mean, it's not a. They're going to make it. They'll make it. They very much want to make it, and it's very interesting. It's what goes on behind the scenes of a. It's like a private club.
Now, who is the main character in this?
Well, there's a number of equal parts there. One of them is based on my experiences, and then there's the people who were actually doing all these things, which, as I say, they resented, but then you shouldn't do things that if you're going to resent if somebody talks about it.
Now, would you like to play yourself?
I don't really care. I actually prefer not to.
So you don't... How about being one of the co-op board members?
That's what all the cast is, co-op board members.
Oh, so you don't see the people coming in to apply.
You do.
So it's not all.
The cast is there. And, I mean, the people that are the biggest parts are the people on the board.
Well, that would be good for you because these people are, I from what I'm ascertaining here, these people are kind of crusty and temperamental.
Well, I could do it. I just don't really want to. I mean, I'm not, you know, to... You know, movie days could be 12 hours long.
But so the money's not right.
It's not a lot of money. I don't think it's a lot of money. I don't even know, but it's not a lot of money.
Now, does the money matter?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice, but it's not a significant amount of money, so it wouldn't matter that much.
Now, when you did that big smash hit last year, great film, by the way, Madoff.
Now,
oh man! Now that movie, I bet had a budget.
It did, but you know, I've done a lot of things lately. I can't even remember. I know Madoff is with my main memory of Madoff is sitting with Richard Dreyfuss, right?
Yes, great actor.
He played Madoff. All I remember is sitting opposite him and saying, "This is not on camera." I said that. It's all true what I said to him. I said, I understand. I've read that you've sued three of your ex-wives, which, for reasons, thankfully, made him laugh because it was true. He's a piece of work, Richard Dreyfuss. He's a great actor. Reminds me of a story that way back in it was in the early 70s. I was a friend of mine, the play Thieves. Herb Gardner had written it, and I came in and it was having difficulty, and I came in to take over direction out of town, and I got a message that a director wanted to meet with me, wanted me for a new movie he was doing. I said, I really can't. I'm really tied up with this. I can't do it. He said, who do I know? He said, I don't think so. I said, what's his name? His name is Steven Spielberg. No, I don't. What's he done? They said, Sugarland Express. I said, I really don't have time to this. Well, the movie was Jaws.
Ooh.
And the part was the part that Richard Dreyfuss played in Jaws.
And you passed
well,
on
I'd
that?
Well, I never even read it.
Oh, Charles.
Well, I was busy with something else. Let's put it like this. I've never been this supremely ambitious person, which probably is a good thing, because it doesn't... If you are, it brings a lot of tension, stress to your life. Because everything means so much, but you know, to me, it's just not like that. So, I mean, I have a number of things. Most of the things I'm involved with now are things that I've written. I wrote something about group therapy that, based on a friend of mine, talk about it all the time. And Carol Burnett's going to do that. Called "What's Been Bothering You Lately?" And then,
is that the TV show?
I don't know. Was it a TV show?
Well, I heard Carol Burnett's doing a new TV show. Maybe
no,
I've got
no,
my
that's
wires
something.
Crossed.
She's doing a series, I think.
Oh, is she?
I'm not sure what that is.
No, well, good for... She's busy now, apparently.
Yeah, she's busy. She's a doll.
Yeah, God bless her.
She's one of those people that are just as nice, the same off-screen as that you see them on-screen, which isn't true of everybody.
I can understand that.
She's a darling. You know, she's had so much tragedy. She lost two daughters, one to a drug overdose and another in a skiing accident or something, an accident of some kind.
That is very difficult.
I know people that I can never quite get past that, that having children of my own, that how anyone gets past that. I have a neighbor who's lost a teenage daughter skiing.
Well, I think we just saw that with Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
What a tragedy. You know, Charles, when you were talking about your films there and not having great ambition, but you have been in some of the classics. I mean, I mentioned the comedies there off the front, but I mean, we're talking about Rosemary's Baby, a classic, The Heartbreak Kid, a classic, but you've talked about those, so I don't want to get into that. I want to go, a few months ago, we had James Drury on, who was the Virginian.
Right.
And he came to Ohio and did a big Virginian reunion.
Right.
And I was shocked to find out that in 1967, Charles Grodin played Arnie Dowd.
Yeah.
On the Virginian.
Well, I started out as a villain on Westerns.
Now, how did that go?
I don't even know why it happened. Some director in New York just liked me, and I was like, they used to call me the super heavy, because I would the people that I acted with, they actually were happy not to be doing it anymore, because what I was doing was I was bringing real feelings to it.
Really? Hostility.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
And they just didn't want to be in the room.
When you were in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's particularly, you know, for doing the scene, because I wouldn't do it. I don't do it if I'm not doing a part.
So you would get so hostile.
I was able to do that.
They did not want to be anywhere near you.
Right.
James Drury said he will never be on the Virginian again.
Did he?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking. You were there.
I don't remember that.
Can you get James Drury a job? I get the feeling he's not working much.
I don't know. How old is James Drury?
I think he's about 80, 85.
Hmm.
He could be one of the... Put him in that...
It's a very age-conscious profession.
Yeah, but put him in that film. Put him in that Right Kind of People thing. Can you imagine him riding up to the co-op board on a...
On a horse.
On a horse. Oh, the Virginian. There he is.
Wouldn't quite fit, but let me think about it and get back to you on that.
Fascinating. It'd be fascinating, Charles. I told you before, I've brought this up, and he's still there. Professor Irwin Corey is
really?
Still living.
Wow.
102 years old.
Wow, isn't that amazing? That's nice to hear.
Put him in a film.
Yeah, I worked with him. I directed him in some Thieves, I think.
Well, wouldn't you like to see? You might get in the this Right Kind of People might end up in the Guinness Book of World Records for casting the oldest person ever in a part.
Well, I don't think there is a part for him in this. He was excellent when I worked with him. That was, I think, 1974.
Or Norman Lloyd, 102 years old.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, he worked with Hitchcock. Did you ever work with Hitchcock?
No, I never worked with Hitchcock, no.
Never crossed his path.
But I did go back to some unusual people. When I was 25 years old, I worked with Robert Redford.
Oh, you know, he was great in that film Truth with where he portrayed Dan Rather. He was good.
Yeah, he's very good actor.
Very.
I was at some event in the last few years sometime, and he was there, and I walked over. I want to remind him we worked together way back in 1960, but he didn't recognize me as I approached him. He looked at me like I was about to ask him for a contribution to something, so I just walked away. But he lives not too far from me, and I think we have the same barber, so I might still get together with him. I don't know.
Now, what do you want to do with him?
I don't know. Just socially, you know, be nice.
Is your social circle getting small that you need to...
It's very small.
You have to bring somebody else in.
It's very small. It's by definition, it's small because I don't go anywhere.
You know, Charles, this is why... I can believe it, but this is why it's great to have you on, Charles, because I just thought of a tie-in. I don't know if you heard, but in hour number one today, we had on Hugh Downs.
Right.
Hugh Downs, you know this, whose announcer was Hugh Downs?
Jack Parr.
Who was one of your dear friends?
Jack Parr.
Boy, I didn't realize it was going to be a theme show today.
Yeah.
Now,
really?
And we had Dick Cavett on not too long ago.
Yeah.
And he...
Believe it or not, Jack Parr actually came to where I live.
I might have been speaking there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really...
it's irrelevant at this point.
He was special. I remember he once said to me, boy, he says, I wouldn't have known what to do with you if you'd been a guest on my show. I said, oh, you could have handled anything.
You know, I don't know, Charles. Jack Parr to me, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but for the kind of work I do, Jack Parr is the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I like to have politics. We've had Madeleine Albright on this show.
Yeah.
I'm going to name drop Madeleine Albright and Mary Ellen Withrow and Sherrod Brown. You know, good Al Franken was on this show.
Right.
And but we can also have the Charles Grodins on. We can have the funny interviews.
Right.
The
well,
ones.
I actually was elected president 8 times.
You were not elected president.
In high school. Every 6 months
high school.
I was elected.
Oh, man.
I never lost an election for the presidency. In sixth grade, though, before I was in high school, I was removed from the presidency by the teacher for, as she put it, talking incessantly. I said, what's incessantly mean? She's looking up the dictionary. I did. It said, talk without cease.
Even your teachers had kind of a hostility towards you.
Well.
Look it up yourself.
It's funny. I was the president of the class in high school, as I said, and yet I'd end up at the principal's office quite a lot. And I remember the principal once saying to me, Mr. Bauer, he said to me, I never know if you're here on class business or if you've been thrown out again. And I said, remember what I said? I said, it's never class business.
So,
but I was thrown out, not because I did any. I shouldn't have been thrown out. I was asking a lot of questions. I always had a lot of questions. Always. And I don't think that's something to throw somebody out of class about.
No. Depends on what the questions
well,
are.
They were polite. I wasn't trying to be rude.
No, never. You were elected how many times?
Eight.
Now, how many times did the Russians stuff that ballot box? Because I don't mean to be rude, Charles, but yeah. You seem like the type of guy who maybe didn't have a lot of friends. I don't know how you won the vote 8 times.
Well, believe it or not, I did and do have a lot of friends.
Enough to win elections?
Well, this is high school.
So you were a popular guy in your school.
In high school, yeah. I don't think I think I would win if I ran out of high school as well.
For president?
Whatever.
Anybody can do it. We found that out.
Who would want to do that? Who would want that job? I don't want that job.
I don't know.
I wake you in the middle of the night to tell you that somewhere, some country you never heard of, that they've invaded another country, you weren't sure what it was all about, and you'd have to explain it to you.
Yeah.
I God bless them, these people that want to do that, but boy, I can't even imagine.
No. Well, you know, I was actually going to tell a story about Jack Parr there before you veered.
Yeah.
But the story I wanted to tell was Jack Parr to me, when I watch him, and there's some great documentaries on him, he always seems like he was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. He makes me nervous sometimes to watch him.
Yeah, Jack was an unusual. He was more like a... what we think of as a guest than a host, but he was a very, very special. He married into the Hershey chocolate family, and I have this image of being over at his house and him serving chocolates, and him said, this is what he says, that these are only for the family. He had a very aristocratic manner about him.
Well, what really brought this home was not necessarily his own shows, but on Thanksgiving Day this past year, like I say, I watch the old Carson shows on Antenna TV. You're on there a lot, Charles.
Right.
And I was cooking a turkey because I had the Thanksgiving get-together at my house.
Right.
And I was watching some of these DVRs while I was preparing it, and there was an episode from probably the mid-80s. It was the first time that Jack Parr had been back to The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson as the guest. And
yeah,
Johnny...
Oh,
really? Oh, yeah. Sound interested. It's a good story.
No, I mean, that is interesting.
Here, you can watch it on YouTube. If somebody can punch it up for you.
I can't, yeah.
No, I wouldn't want you to.
I know how to do on and off. That's it.
Don't bother. But anyway, I'm watching this thing, and Johnny has like 3 guests on that night, but you can tell he's enjoying talking to Jack, so
yeah.
He keeps him for like 4 commercial breaks.
Wow.
Now, but here's the problem. Now, Johnny wants him there, but Jack keeps having nervous breakdowns because he would go, he would tell a story that got a good response, and he'd say, I'm just not very good. I'm staying out here way too long. I got to go, Johnny. And Johnny would say, Jack, calm down. And then they would tell another story,
yeah,
and Jack would say,
I did see that at some point.
And then Jack said, I really got to go. I've just been out here too. I mean, where did he have to go? Was there a cab outside? What was going on there?
He just always wanted to get off.
Did he know he was...
Well, he figures, you know, if you get off, rather you can stay on too long. That's what he's thinking. Of course, our fans that we are, that's not true, but that's what he feels.
But he came on, and I've seen this too, I believe it was his last television appearance, he came on the Charles Grodin CNBC show.
Yeah, he did.
And he seemed a little uneasy there.
Yeah, he was. He was, but after a while, I actually have the tape, and he said, yeah, I'm liking it out here now. I said, well, just a question, you know, just do whatever you want to do.
Did time treat him well? He's not looked on like Johnny Carson.
I don't know why. I'm not really sure. I'm not an authority on that, but I don't think he was on that long. I think he quit. He walked off the Tonight Show when he was the host.
I've heard that story firsthand.
For some reason, I can't remember what it was.
Water closet.
He was very unusual fella, and I'm very happy that I'd go to visit him where he lived, and he came visit me where I lived, and I stayed in touch with his daughter after he passed away, and then she passed away.
His daughter has passed away?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The whole family's gone.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is sad, yeah.
Because Jack lived to a pretty old age.
I think it was 94, I think it might have
been. No, not 94. I think he was 85.
Can you check? Could somebody check it?
Yeah, well, we can send that out. I tell you what, stay there, Charles,
yeah.
Because every time we're on the program, you're on the program. I you were great on Carson, but you also had a great chemistry with David Letterman.
Right.
So I do want to play a short clip of you here on the David Letterman show from, I think, 2004, this is, and we will check on this is a good trivia. How old was Jack Parr when he died? We'll get that statistic, and we'll come back with more Charles Grodin right after this clip. David Letterman, Charles Grodin, I believe 2004 is the date.
Do you feel, as you go through life, that you should point this out to people when you run into their character flaws?
No, but if
you ever run into people?
Well, that's a pretty short.
You ever see anyone?
Pretty short list. I'm telling you.
Have you ever been out socially with someone who's not? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. All
really?
The time. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the last decade or so?
Yes. Yes.
You have?
Yeah, yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. And you? Well, now, what was that? I saw a little, you just...
I don't believe you.
No, you did
I don't
this
believe
little,
you.
You did this,
I don't
no,
believe
no,
you.
But more
no,
than
no,
doubting.
No,
you,
I,
no,
I
here's
snickered.
What you did.
I snickered.
Yeah, that's what
I
it was more of a sneer. Yeah. It was a sneer. It was an audible sneer. But it was.
I don't believe
it was
you.
Very dismissive.
I don't
you
believe
did, here's
you.
What
I don't
you did.
Believe you. I don't think it's appropriate. It's still a national show. Might not be in prime time, but it's still... You can't just make up that you're this socialite who's around.
I never said I was a socialite.
You were seen anywhere,
desperate
but here.
Man, you're fabricating.
Have you ever been seen anywhere but here that anyone wrote about anywhere ever,
well,
ever
I,
with anyone?
I don't know. Maybe.
Have you ever been anywhere but here at home? Here at home? Here
well,
at home?
Yeah,
here at home.
I go on a regular basis. I go other places. I have activities, and
I saw a photograph of you with
there
your
you
son.
Go.
You were down somewhere. But I'm talking about with people more or less your age.
Well, that would be who? You and Regis, and
yeah.
That's it. That's just the three of us. And not many of us left.
It's all over.
Yeah.
You didn't get the notice?
No.
It's like my jacket didn't come in.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me check on that. Did the jacket come in? Did the jacket?
A great clip, by the way, Charles.
Thank you. Thank you. I see Regis regularly.
Oh, yeah. Regis is still. How's he doing?
He seems fine. He thrives. He's always busy doing something.
God bless him.
He's a very wonderful guy. What you see on television is the guy off television, which isn't necessarily true of a lot of people.
Well, I just want to submit this into case evidence that Jack Parr was 85 years old when he passed away.
What year was that?
That was 2004, January 27th, 2004.
Oh, 2004.
And Jack was born in Canton, Ohio. Another tie, because
wow.
This show's in Ohio. And Hugh Downs was from Ohio as well.
Is he still around?
He was on preceding you, Charles. We discussed that already.
Wow, that's right, yeah.
Do you remember any of this interview?
Not really.
Like, if I would go back... If I'd go back 20 minutes, you'd have no recall.
Well, short-term memory is what goes.
Has yours went?
Well, I don't know. Long-term is better. Short-term, I can't tell you what we were talking about 20 minutes ago, but I don't think a lot of people could.
Uh-huh. Well, fascinating facts, Charles. That's what's always good about you. You bring a lot of fascination to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Tomorrow, Inauguration Day, are you excited?
Let's see, who is that? Oh, that's Donald Trump.
Donald, he will be our 45th president in less than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know him.
Uh-huh.
He's unusual. He's very talented. He's very gifted, but he's unusual. He's got to get a little thicker skin. You can't be out there in public reacting to stuff too much if you're, you know, the president of the United States. You can't. People say all kinds of things. You just do it.
I can think you wouldn't be a tweet guy.
No, I'm not. I don't even have a computer.
Now maybe this is why you're not getting the emails, Charles.
No, I don't have a computer.
Now, see, if you would have said that back in June, we wouldn't have had this issue.
I don't remember the question coming up.
It was early in this interview. You haven't been on since June 22nd, and I said it was because you had not answered my emails.
I just picked up something. I go, this is, I don't know where this came from. It's not an email. This is a letter from...
You're talking very softly, Charles.
This is a letter from James Toback. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't. Who's James Toback?
He's a very well-known director. And I guess I'm doing something with him.
The right kind of people.
Something else.
Oh, another thing.
Yeah, something else. Let's see, Toback... I don't know. It's written down somewhere.
If this didn't come by email, where did it come? Like Pony Express?
I'm looking at it. I don't know where it came from. It's just a blank piece of paper.
James Drury, the Virginian. It's a blank piece of paper.
I mean, it's just a plain. There's no nothing on it.
From Toback.
Letter.
Uh-huh. That's fascinating. Oh, do you still do the commentaries for CBS, don't you?
I do that, yeah. I've been doing that for 15 years.
We're talking good stuff there.
Thank you.
Because you come on, I love it, you come on and you don't really have a point, but you just, it's like three lines.
Well, generally longer than that, but...
Not the ones I've heard.
Yeah, they range from around, on average, I'd say they're around 45 seconds to a minute.
Mm-hmm. Do they put the clamps on you? Time-wise?
No, they're okay with whatever I'm doing. I've been doing it for, as I said, for 15 years.
Well, what you should do today, Charles, is, or whenever the next one's submitted, do about an 18-minute one and see if they play it.
I wouldn't do that.
Really?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Hostile guy like you?
If I'm going to do something like that, I'll write it in a book.
Oh, you've written many books. Do you have another one coming up?
Probably. Yeah, I'd have to. Yeah, one thing
you don't know.
You have to look at your notes all the time. A book. I have a book coming out. I don't even know what it is.
See, I'm not sure what you said there. Yeah, it sounded. That's what it sounded like. I don't know what that was.
What's that?
Whatever you just said. I don't know what that
was. I said I have a book that's coming out.
You do?
Yeah.
What's the name?
I don't know.
Oh man, has it been written?
Oh yeah, I wrote it already. Yeah.
Wrote it. What's it about?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look at my notes and I could see, but I don't think I have them right here.
You have a movie coming up. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know when it's going to be out. You have a book. You don't know what it's about. You don't know where it is.
Let's see. Here's a note that says...
You might want to catch up on this before the book tour.
Harvey Weinstein. Now I'd have to find out, why am I calling Harvey Weinstein?
Harvey Weinstein.
The producer. Call James.
Hasn't he passed away?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, no, he didn't.
Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
Okay. Fact check that, somebody, will they?
Say it again?
I'm sending a fact check to the boys back in the room.
Harvey Weinstein, though. I got something with him, and then James Toback. Hold on one second. What'd you say? On the radio. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt your day here, Charles.
It's all right. Go
with,
ahead.
With this radio interview. You're right. Weinstein is. Who was the guy who passed away? What, he had a name like that.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Somebody check on that. But Harvey, what is the Harvey Weinstein thing about? He's a producer. Is that the right kind of people?
No, it's not. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what it is. I forget what it is. I've got it all written down somewhere. I can't remember after a while, but you get it written down. It's fine.
I heard there's going to be a King Kong 2.
Oh, they're doing that again? Well, they did King Kong. I think I was in the third King Kong.
But I thought you were going to be in this one. I thought I read that in the trades.
No.
You were coming back to play that great character.
No.
That got stepped on by King Kong.
That's right. That's
he wasn't killed.
Once you're stepped on, that's it.
No, he wasn't killed. It was a sandy beach, and King Kong had some corns on his feet, and he came back.
Kong.
Yeah, well, that was a good movie, Charles.
Yeah, I remember... That was Dino De Laurentiis was the producer. I remember him telling me when he wanted me to play the role. He says, you go looking for oil. You know, find the oil, but you find the big ape. This is the way he talked. He was quite a guy. He was only about 5'3", 5'4".
A short guy.
Yeah.
You're a tall man, Charles.
No, 6 feet.
6 feet tall.
But then the director of that, I don't even know if he's, I don't think he's still around, John Gillerman, he made Dino look like the boy next door.
Oh, really?
Oh, he was very different. Very different guy, yeah.
In your experience, is the world of show business filled with different type of characters?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of unusual people, let's put it like that.
Is that why you decided to join that profession?
I had no idea.
You really? No idea going in, but you stayed.
I had no idea, just something I just decided to do it. I don't know. I thought I could do it. Actually, the reason I became an actor, I had already enrolled at the University of Pittsburgh to be a journalism major, and I saw a movie starred Elizabeth Taylor, and I had the kind of ego that I thought, well, I think I'll become a movie. I'll go to Hollywood and meet Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, that's the kind of confidence I had. And many years later, I never met Elizabeth Taylor, but many years later, I was at some event, and I was telling the story, and the people in front of me were listening and chuckling, but behind me, there was the loudest laugh I ever heard. That was Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, she had a big laugh.
Yeah, big laugh.
She had like a Phyllis Diller laugh.
Yeah, and so she was quite a beauty.
Beautiful. Now, do you have the commentaries written out that you do for CBS?
Oh, sure.
Okay, hey, give me one.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Let me see. Let me just look here a minute and see if I have something written on a pad nearby.
Oh, you just write them on legal pads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where do you tape them?
Say it again?
How do you tape them?
I do them at home.
Oh, you have a little studio.
Well, no, but I could do it. My son helps me with it.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Is it all done on the computer?
As far as I know.
Is a computer in front of you when you record them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or something's in front of me.
Some device.
Here's one. I just read this. I think this went into the Times, because I sent stuff and published in papers sometimes. Sometimes they say you just have to suck it up and do what has to be done. It was the birthday recently of a close family member who has dementia. Sometimes I'll call and he'll curse me out for reasons unknown. I called and happily it went well. Later that day, I saw in the news that Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor, Nobel Prize winner, had died. He was the same age as my family member. I don't remember how. But years ago, I had lunch with Elie Wiesel, survivor of the Holocaust and Nobel Prize winner. Some things you never forget.
There's a great irony there.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you think about that?
Yeah. When I was 15, I ran and won the presidency of my homeroom in high school. At 18, Elie Wiesel once wrote a book, a bestseller, but Nobel Prize authors don't look at me.
Did that make air? What was that, Charles?
I don't know what that was, but I I really was able to spend some time with people. It's like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's so special.
Yeah, I can. Is your mouth actually on the receiver of the phone?
Why, is this better?
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, it's better. No,
what were you talking into?
No, it just was it didn't have it close enough.
Oh, that's much better, Charles.
Okay.
I don't want to lose a minute of this because it's going to go into the time capsule. I don't want them to have to strain their ears. A lot of people in your business, show business, left us last year.
Who was that?
Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher, Five-ish.
Yeah, both. Carrie was an old friend of mine.
Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy Reagan.
I knew Debbie and Carrie.
You knew them both?
Yeah.
Was Debbie, I interviewed Debbie once, was Debbie as fun as she seemed?
I didn't know. I knew Carrie a lot better than Debbie.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
But was Carrie as fun as she seemed?
Carrie was a doll.
Carrie was great.
Yeah, it's hard for me to even grasp that she's gone. She was only 60.
60 years old. It's amazing. Look at the young people. We lost Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Was he a hero of yours?
Yeah.
I think he was everybody's hero.
Really?
Yeah.
I met Carrie when she was 21.
Really?
Yeah. Remember the actress Joan Hackett?
Mm-hmm.
She brought in Carrie to meet me and the guy I was with who Carrie later married, Paul Simon.
They were married for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Do you think, when you look back, because you were on 60 Minutes 2 for a while, wasn't it canceled shortly after that, 60 Minutes 2?
I'm not sure what happened.
weren't you there during that whole flap with, the president's military service?
I don't remember.
Don't remember.
I don't remember that.
It would help.
I know that I'm the only one of the only people that I'm aware of that actually quit 60 Minutes as a commentator.
You quit?
Yeah, which is amazing that I did that. They didn't run me 1 week, and I remember saying to the guy, he's in charge of 60 Minutes now, Jeff Fager. I said, I spent all week on this, and if I have the feeling that I might not be running, he says, only happened once. I said, but the fact that it can happen, I was unreasonable. I was wrong about that. And but the nice part of the story is that we're friends today.
But why did you do that?
Well, because I would spend all week working on something, go on location, do a lot of preparation for it, and if they didn't run it...
Go on location?
Like, he said, well, it only happened once. I said, but the possibility that can happen...
Weren't you just behind a desk?
Oh, no, I would go on location.
Where'd you go?
Well, in the New York area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it was quite an undertaking. It was quite something.
Couldn't they just play that the next week?
I don't know I don't really remember what happened there, but I've just finished 15 years of being on CBS network radio every day as a commentator.
Really?
15 years.
I didn't
day.
Know that.
Yeah.
You're on CBS every day?
Yeah.
Have they ever not ran you and you got furious?
It's all across the country.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of time. Before
well,
they
I'm
don't
sure
run,
that they don't in some places.
Oh, have you called the guy?
You'll be preempted by a breaking news story. I don't. No, I don't. Even, I don't.
You call Les Moonves and say, "Listen,
I don't say anything.
We got problems."
No, I let it go.
I didn't run.
You can be You should be preempted by a breaking news story. You have to be.
Well, how do you know that didn't happen on 60 Minutes 2?
I don't remember what happened. I actually don't remember what happened.
Were you a lot more angry in those days?
Say it again?
Were you a lot more angry in those days?
Not really.
No. That was just a moment.
Yeah, I was. I didn't do anything like that. Not like that.
Well, I can imagine. Okay. I can imagine that Andy Rooney would be more difficult to deal with than you, but here you are the person who quit 60 Minutes.
Yeah, Andy Rooney was a friend of mine. He was definitely a tough number. I remember once he joined my wife and me for dinner, and he said, I was just telling him how much I, because at that time I was on 60 Minutes, too, as a commentator and also on the radio, and he said to my wife, I was just telling him how much I enjoyed him on the radio, which is his way of taking a shot at me. And I'll never forget, she just stared at him. He wasn't ready for that.
Your Andy Rooney impression is fascinating.
Yeah, he was a piece of work.
You know, Charles, time is running short, which I'm just sad about, but I now know that we have this connection that I can call you, and if you're not busy, you will come on.
Sure.
Yeah, beautiful. But we will end this just as we have ended most of our interviews, just to stay intact. You're one of your other dear friends who is still with us, Phil Donahue.
Yeah.
Ohio boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're friends with a lot of people from Ohio.
I wasn't aware of that, but yeah, I believe you.
We filled in the blanks. Phil Donahue has been on this show one time many years ago.
Right.
And, of course, I love Phil Donahue.
Right.
Now, I see Phil going out and doing things. I see him, you know, he's on RT, and he's doing Democracy Now or something. And we cannot book Phil Donahue.
Did you call him?
I did call his number one time. And I think I left a message, and I don't think he returned it.
Well, why don't you, not on the air, but why don't you leave me a message and tell me what the number is? Maybe I'll get you a better number.
Oh, I'll do that. So, but you have been trying, my understanding, through these past interviews to facilitate the interview with Phil Donahue, but you never tell me when you talk to Phil about it what he says. So how has that gone?
I don't know, but you call. It's hard to remember, to tell you the truth. A lot of stuff's going on, but you call again and just give me a note that you're. Tell me where you want him to call.
I will do that.
Put that in a message, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Well, I'll tell you, the number you called today would be a good number.
I'm just looking to see where it is.
Yeah. You called it like 50 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. Let's see here. Yeah, okay. I have it.
Because he would be a good guy to have on in this great time of transition to look back on the Obama years, look ahead to the Trump year. He interviewed Donald Trump.
Right.
Did you ever interview Donald Trump?
No, but I know him socially.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Many times. So maybe if Phil Donahue comes on this show in the near future, that would be great.
Let me see what I can do.
Bob Barker was on yesterday. Just Phil, you Downs, Bob Barker, Charles Grodin. That's Phil Donahue. That's who we've had this week.
I will call and I'll give him your number.
Like today? Because your memory's a little shaky, Charles.
Tomorrow. I wrote it down, though.
You wrote it down.
Right.
Charles, it's been so much fun to have you back on. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have.
Thanks. Next time, let's do it that it actually is on the air.
You want to put it on the air next time?
You know, just for change of pace.
Well, you know, a lot of this we just roll.
That's okay.
Charles Grodin, it's always a pleasure. And as I say, not 7 months, because I know something big and bad is going to happen, and we need that hilarity that these interviews...
Boy. All right, Scott, you call me and we'll try to get it done.
We'll get it done. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. You be well.
You too. Right. Bye-bye. Charles Grodin, always a lot of fun. Boy, oh boy. You know what? We've got a special interview coming up, so stay tuned. But for this program on this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. And the gift card to Kroger is yours. And just when you thought there couldn't be any more, if you come to WGH Studios,